everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the WINS Sunday Adult Discussion Bible Study Class. Today, we are still in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And today, I would like to ask Clyde to start us with a prayer.
Precious Lord, we thank you for this day. For surely our lips confess the truth. This is the day that you have made.
Yes.
And we will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Father, no matter if the world sets aside a day for celebration, we celebrate every day your presence.
Amen.
So in your presence, there's fullness of joy.
Yes.
So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, sit, and teach us.
Yes, Lord.
As we lean on you, the teacher of all. Be glorified this day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, last week we got through, did we read through verse 7?
Yeah.
7? I'd like to, before we get going anywhere further, I'd like to read it through one more time in the King James here, and I'd like to do it with the emphasis on a certain word. Kind of got to me this morning when I was reading. Here we go. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now that was pretty miraculous. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All in Moses, all in the cloud, and all in the sea. And did all eat of the same spiritual meat. Now you know what spiritual meat is. That's like, you know, we're not eating, drinking the milk any longer. They were to the point where they were eating spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. That's a pretty miraculous way to live, isn't it? If you see, if you have eyes to see what was going on in those days, I mean, you would be walking around, whoa, you know? But with many of them, not all, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now all of these things were examples, it all was written down. I don't know if it all happened for an example to us, but it was surely written down as an example for us. An example for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. I see you with your finger up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking, because they did not please him, I don't think they had their insight opened up, like J.B. Phillips says. They were in that day about, they were drinking of the cup of Christ.
I mean,
it says it that they all drank,
but
it also says that some, well, he said they left their bones in the desert. I would think that might have been the ones that really didn't hear, have ears to hear. You know, they had, it says in here, I'm just paraphrasing, it says in here they played with foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned the word sober last week. They weren't sober-minded. I mean, what was the word I was trying to say in Sunday school and get to it? They took it for granted, I think, that they were God's people and this is how it's going to be. Well, as God's people, we're required to show forth God.
Right.
And how do we do that? I think with soberness and with, I mean, I believe people can laugh, but the laughter of God should be the joy flowing out of you, like the rivers of living water flowing out of you. I mean, they were examples. Were they good examples?
Some were.
And sometimes they were, and sometimes they
weren't. But I mean, I don't want to be the part where my bones in the desert. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of Audrey a lot. Who's on the prophesied to the bones?
Lee.
Who was the in the Bible? Who was the one that prophesied to the bones?
Oh, that was Ezekiel.
His dead bones, yeah.
Yeah. And she's in, she's a lot into that. Why? Her bones have hurt her for years. Her feet, you know. And I know that she loves that scripture. She said, well, Ezekiel prophesied to the bones. So that's an example of something that we can look forward to, and we can do it in the day.
You know, in that story of Ezekiel there, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, can these bones live?
Yeah.
And Ezekiel, and if you go through Scripture, you will find that everyone in Scripture that God really used didn't act like they knew anything.
Very good. That's
he
right.
He said, thou knowest. Only thou you knowest. Know. And that should be our attitude about anything concerning God. God, you know.
Yeah.
You're in control. We're in submission to whatever you say. And, you know, when he prophesied to the bones, then he was really told to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think sometimes where we have a problem at times, you might agree with this and you might not, but I've always felt like where we run into a problem at times is we try to make the Word of God work instead of working with the Word of God.
That's
There's
good.
A difference.
Yeah.
Working with the Word of God is a word that God speaks to you, doing what God tells you to do, not you telling God what He's supposed to do. And sometimes we as Christians, we get discouraged because we pray for people, and instead of being inspired by God to pray for them, we tell God what He needs to do in that situation or that circumstance. And a lot of times, you know, we don't realize that even with Jonah, you know, Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, and he went in the opposite direction of Nineveh, far away as he could go. But in the meantime, God had, and Scripture says, and God had prepared a great fish.
Yes.
He prepared it.
It was, he knew that Jonah was going to do that. He knows when we're going to fall short. He knows when we're going to be disobedient. He knows everything. And you know, when we come to realize that it gets turned around, you know what I mean? Because we need to basically tell the Lord, Lord, you know, and that whatever you say, that's what it is, you know. And there, you know, that's one of the problems I have sometimes with people trying to operate, so to speak, in faith, you know, faith healing, stuff like that. I heard Brother Eddie say a few times, you probably heard this too, Clyde, and, you know, because you've been around a lot of times when Brother Eddie was speaking. Brother Eddie said that he'd had times when he pulled people out of wheelchairs and had to put them back.
Put them back. Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason that he had to put them back, because God didn't tell him to pull that person out of that wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's what he had doctor.
Now, that goes against what your faith healers out there will tell you.
Right.
But that's the reality in God. If God tells you to do something, you know, I love, and I mean, I know I bring up Carice a lot, but I love some of the things that she said over the years and the tapes that we had. One of the things was when she was at that gospel get together of all these ministers, and they were ordaining ministers and all this. She was the only woman there.
Right.
And at that point, she said that, as far as she was concerned, women were only to minister to women. You know, that was what she'd always been told. They weren't to minister to men and all that kind of stuff. And basically what she said was, is that, you know, this that big heavy guy got up, big heavy minister got up to introduce her to speak. And she said, and he dropped dead. And she said, all of the big ministers, you know, well-known ministers, gathered around him, all this and that, and they all pronounced him dead, you know. Said, paramedics showed up and they pronounced him dead and said God spoke to her and said, go raise him up. Now, you can imagine how that, when you get that word from the Lord, how that is. I mean, all these guys that you're basically maybe looking up to and thinking, boy, these are the guys here, you know. And he said, go raise him up. And he said, he said to her, and act like you did it before.
Yes, amen. That's right. Don't be surprised. That's right.
Act like you've done it before. I love that, see, because that's really the Lord telling you, you know, this thing ain't you, it's me.
Yeah, amen. That's right. What I was going to say.
It ain't you, it's me. That's
if right. You're not scared when the Lord tells you what to do, something like that, then you're in yourself and not in
that's
Lord.
Right. That's
when
right.
You're puffed up by it, well, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to give this word. Yeah. That is not the Lord. You should be scared to death.
Right. There's a difference, like I say, between, you know, even what they'd seen back there, all that stuff that they saw back there, those were types and shadows of the reality of what was going to come forth. I doubt very seriously, I mean, this is just the way I think about it, I doubt very seriously that any of them understood what was happening. You know, really, what he was really showing them. I don't think any of them really did. There was some that were flowing as he told them to flow, like, you know, like Joshua. You know, Joshua stayed before the presence of the Lord all the time. You know, if you read what the scriptures say, and you know, Joshua was a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. You know, and but all of those things that we're reading here, even about that rock that followed them around, they didn't really at that point, because none of the New Testament, none of the Old Testament was there when. The law was just coming into existence, but they were operating in the realm of innocence, which also was grace, because it was an innocence. You know, it was the grace of God, but it was an innocence. The law grown in the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and then they the ones who operated in grace and looked forward unto Jesus Christ in grace, you know, they did mighty exploits, but it was only as God told them to do it. See? And that's where sometimes, like I say, you know, even when Brother Eddie said that different times, you know, I spoke up, and I was pretty young Christian, and I, you know, I actually spoke up when he said that, because it was in the evening service, and he wasn't preaching, he was just talking,
sharing.
Right. You know, sharing. And I said, well, Brother Eddie, I said, I think the reason that you had to put him back is because you were trying to make the Word of God work. That's what I just told you. Mm-hmm. You were trying to make it, instead of working with the Word of God. If God had told you to pull him out of that wheelchair, they'd have went leaping and praising God.
That's right.
Just like Peter and them, you know. But we have a misconception, I think, sometimes of even how the apostles worked. That didn't mean that God gave them the ability that anything they said, anything they did, that it instantly happened, you know. But when they followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, then miraculous things happened, wonderful things happened. And it's the same in our lives, you know. But anyway, I don't mean to preach a sermon here, but...
Remember the doctor that preached down at Elmwood spoke,
yeah,
and told how he was... examining this little boy, and had the one leg shorter than the other.
Right, right.
And God lengthened his leg right when he had his hands on him, lengthened.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, he was so high in the spirit that. And they didn't even claim to know the Lord.
Right.
And then he went to this little woman, and she was a devout Catholic, but she loved the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he prayed for her. Nothing happened, whatever her need was.
Right.
And the other people went on and left the office, and he went on doing other patients, and he stopped back in to check on her. Finally, he had to just release her, let her go, you know, home. And then he asked God, why did you do this for this? And this woman loves you and that. He said, because I didn't tell you to.
Right.
I didn't tell you to. And see, mm-hmm. if he tells us to do it,
yeah.
he's going to back it up. You can believe that. You can believe that. There's so many things that we have compassion, and I look at this woman I knew, and she's passed away now, and how I took a cloth from here and prayed for her, and she was open to it and everything. She had to have throat, you know, surgery. I go by her house all the time, going in town. I'm in the same room that we live now in Havana. And I thought about her, and I was asking God, you know, when I... And I asked for the cloth, and we prayed over it, took the cloth to her, and she was looking and expecting. And the surgery wasn't as bad as it could have been, but still, she was looking to be healed. And I was questioning, I went by there on Friday, and I looked at her house, and thought about her. But I just see that many times that we have such compassion and care for someone, and we believe that God can heal them and pray over them. And then when he doesn't, then I'm wondering, was this his will? Because he didn't tell me. You know, I think many times, like you say, we work the word, you said, instead of with.
Yeah, we try to make the word of God work
yes.
rather than working with the word of
yeah.
God. There's a definite difference there. And you know, I mean, you can take a scripture and you can claim that scripture and claim that scripture and claim that scripture, but if God hasn't given you that scripture, then it's a dead letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know what I'm saying? There's a difference there. But if he's spoken to your heart or he's drawn your attention to that particular scripture and you stand on it, then the fruit of that will come forth, whatever it's supposed to be.
And when you do, you know that you know
yeah, right.
that he's spoken.
Right.
You know without a doubt right. that he has spoken this to you for you. Yeah.
Well, it was like when I was a kid and had the epilepsy, you know, and you know, mother was in the back room praying one time, you know, and I mean, I'm just like any other kid. I was out running around, climbing stuff, trees, and doing stuff, and it's wondering I'd get killed because if I had a seizure up in a tree or jumping off a roof or doing something stupid like kids did, because we lived in a neighborhood where it was in old houses, you know, and there wasn't a park or nothing real close around us. We made our own park, you know. We climbed fire escapes and did all kinds of weird stuff. But anyway, you know, when she came out of the back room after she'd been in there praying, you know, and she said, son, if I know, and she told me after this, you know, after she'd been in there praying, she said, son, if I know the voice of the Lord, you'll never have another seizure. Because God said, he's healing you. Not that I was healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, that stuck with me, what she said. The distinct difference yeah. between he's healing you and you're healed. You know, healed is done. Healing you is a process. And I understood that when she said that. And I don't know, that just stuck with me. And she said, what I want you to do is anytime that you feel like you're going to have a seizure, I want you to say, devil, you're a liar. I don't receive this. And she said, and I want you to quote 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And she said, I want you to keep quoting that over and over and over to yourself. And she said, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, that's exactly what I did. Although God didn't speak that to me, he spoke that to her, you know. And yet I would do that, and I would feel like I was going to have seizures. Because when you're going to have a seizure, you know you're going to have a seizure. It's like a sweeping feeling comes over you. And you know, anyway, even later on, she said, well, I've got to get you back. I wasn't taking my medicine. She said, I gotta get you back to the doctor. I hadn't been taking my medicine for about 6 months or so. I was flushing it down the toilet.
She was paying.
She was buying the medicine. I mean, I'm sure it was costing her a lot of money because I was taking four different types of pills a day, you know. And later on, I come to realize how bad those, how strong those things were. They'd knock your socks clean off, you know. Because they'd tell my mom, they'd say, Oscar seems like he's intelligent, but when he's in school, it's like he's not here. Well, I wasn't there. I was just zonked out. Totally. And she took one of my pills one time when she had a toothache. She said she thought, she figured that maybe it would, you know, because I still had some laying around. I guess. She took one. She said, oh, that thing like it destroyed me. She said, I couldn't function at all. I couldn't do anything. And, you know, but anyway, you know, I didn't take them. And then when she noticed that my pills weren't gone, I forgot to throw some of them away. And she came to me and she says, are you taking your medicine? And I said, no. And she said, how long have you not been taking it? I said, I think I told her about 6 months or something. I don't remember. She said, oh, we better get you back to the doctor. Even though God had spoken to her, mother kicked in, you know, the mother fear.
Isaac.
And they put me in the, they took, I took to the doctor. He put me back in the hospital to run EEG tests and because, you know, it had shown I had epilepsy before. Well, all the time I was in there laying on it, I felt like I was going to have a seizure, you know. And, you know, what God was teaching me was how to walk out of that by faith, is what he was really doing. And I come to realize that later on. And, but the EEG test came back within the bounds of normal, you know. And, but still, for a few years after that, I would still, you know, feel like I was going to have seizures at times. And I would quote those scriptures and stuff, and then it would go away, you know. And the real release came after I got saved, and Brother Eddie asked if anybody had a testimony, and I said, you know, I felt like I was supposed to testify, and it was on a Wednesday night, and I said, well, actually, on Tuesday night, a brother had come to me, and one of the older brothers had come to me and gave me a prophetic word, and he said, the Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me. Do you have epilepsy? And I said, no. And he said, did you have it? And I said, yes. And he said, God wants you to confess that the fear of that is gone. Because my stomach would just almost go in a knot when I'd feel like I was going to have one of seizures, you know. And I stood up on that Wednesday night and testified to that. And you have to realize, I didn't want to be around a lot of people. I didn't want to get up in front of people or nothing like that, because I'd had seizures in public. And that, from as a little kid, that made you draw back, you know. And anyway, so when I testified that I wanted to thank the Lord for taking the fear of epilepsy, and I felt like I was going to have a seizure when I stood up, that fear was gone. And after that, the whole thing was gone, you know. But so many times we have to realize, we have to work with the Word of God, not try to make the Word of God work, you know. And there's a definite difference there.
There is.
There's a definite difference.
You know, the word says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Right.
And when your mom said that he was healing you, that was a direct word from the Lord.
Right.
There was a process going on that was revealed to her, to reveal to you.
Right.
And then she gave you all that tremendous word of inspiration to say, because, and that was exactly what you needed to say.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it wasn't like you were deviating. The Word of God was working in you as you confess with your mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, that's exactly how it works.
And see, even later on, you know, I had to get, I couldn't get life insurance or anything because I had that. I couldn't, I could only get my license every 6 months. The doctor had to give them the statements and all that. Well, later on, when I was a man, you know, I was going to church then. I actually was a man and a Christian. I had an insurance man come to my house, and he was trying to sell me insurance, and I told him I said, I had epilepsy when I was a kid. And he says, I think I can get you insurance if you'll go. I testified to him about what the Lord had done and all this. And he was a Christian, as a matter of fact. So God sent a Christian to do it. And he said, I think I can probably get you some insurance, if you, life insurance, if you are willing to let them look at your records and go have a physical. And I went to this doctor, and I had to take all my medical records to him. And he looked at my medical records, and he just shook his head. And he said, boy, I bet that's one they can't explain. I said, well, I can explain it to you. You know? So, I mean, you know, even with that, because, you know, I had been in the hospital when I was little, and they ran all those tests and, you know, like stuff. And funny thing is, guess where the first place I ever had a seizure was? In church. I was 9 years old, and I had a seizure in church. And that was when that started. In a Pentecostal church of all places.
You might have thought you cut out the spirit.
In a Pentecostal church
of all places. He'll fit right in here. Right. Yeah. Well, I've been around them too, so I know how they work.
Isn't that a strange, you know, I keep feeling you can learn such a lesson from that.
Oh, sure.
In the world, that, you know, when we're in the world but not of it, that fear, it still gets me. You know, when it'll come knocking on your door, we really walk by faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you just, you know, it's, I don't think it's even anything that you do. It's just something that nips at you. And whenever that feeling in your stomach comes, you know, oh, I'm afraid. I don't even like to say, well, I'm afraid this is going to happen, or, you know. But fear, if you say right then and there, I thank God that he has, you know, Satan, I do not receive this. Mm-hmm. God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Well, what is the definition really of Satan when you get down to it? One of the definitions is the accuser of the brethren. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's when your situations and your circumstances accuse you of something. Mm-hmm. And you know, that what does the scripture say about dealing with fear? How do you get rid of fear? Mm-hmm. What does it say? Cast out all fear.
Mm-hmm. Perfect love.
So when we acknowledge the love of God in a situation and really, really acknowledge it, then he begins to cast the fear out. You know, they're decantive. Because fear has torment.
That's why it's so important that we walk in God's will every day.
Right.
And that's why when I get up in the morning, I try to say, Lord, your will be done in my life today. And I preface it with, give me the wisdom to help me to understand.
Right.
Because if I have any kind of understanding, then I don't have the fear.
Right.
And so then I just, then all my trust goes right to where it belongs.
And that takes you right into James, is if any man lack wisdom, let him what?
Ask of God.
Ask of God. Yeah. And then that's exactly what you're doing. See, you're taking that scripture and wrapping yourself in it, and that pleases God. It really does. I mean, you know.
It also says that God keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed
on God.
Right, that's right.
Him.
Yeah.
I think 40 years ago, I said this to the Lord. I ask that your will be done and all of us that remain be able to accept it. That's 40 years ago, Mom graduated. Mm-hmm. My attitude about all that is remain the same. I mean, God's looking for a people that aren't ashamed of what his word declares and will stand up for what his word says. I mean, I believe, you know, that God is in total control. He's never left that to anyone else. And no matter what happens or who it happens to or through, we are to see his hand in it. We serve a merciful God. I mean, fresh and anew every day. His new mercies are fresh and anew every day. And I'm going like that. That gives us, that should just pile on to a tremendous amount of hope within our lives. That, you know, like, everything's not what you see. But everything is what he sees. And I think he sees it all.
Well, let me read this out of the message, and this is what we were talking about today. And, you know, and this, I think, it says they drank from the rock, God's fountain for them, and that stayed with them wherever they were. And the rock was Christ, but just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much to most of them. Most of them were defeated by temptation during hard times in the desert, and God was not pleased. Same thing could happen to us. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. That's not walking in God's will. And we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. You know, and when I read the last word, not turning into a circus, you know, what's going on today in the world? You know?
It's a circus out there.
The churches are entertainment.
That's right.
Everything's entertainment. Make me feel better.
Tickle my ears.
I don't have to take any responsibility if you make me feel good.
Right.
All that says to me, all of these things say to me, that following after Christ and having Christ dwell within us is a very, it's the opposite of being self-centered. It's mm-hmm. being God-centered. It's your I be single, you know. And whenever you say, so many people don't realize they're saying this, but they're saying, not your will, but mine be done to God, you know, mm-hmm. when they should be saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And there is so much selfishness, so much mm-hmm. self-centeredness, so much, you know, that people want too much of everything, you know, and that's why humility and giving to others, I mean, to have that spirit of Christ, which that's what he was all about, showing the love of God. Mm-hmm. And yet sometimes we want what we want.
The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. I believe we're all in the attitude of great gain, but in order to do that, we have to put on him and allow him to put, actually, I believe what he said. He has, over the years, have emphasized the fact, not only are you in Christ, but Christ is in you. And the Bible says that. We are reassured that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not our glory, his. And, you know, if you know.
Well, the you know, many years ago when I was teaching Sunday school, you know, I felt like the Lord started showing me that the full circle of Christ in you is we have to realize that in him, we live and move and have our being.
Yes,
he's in us, but in him, it has to be a two-way street.
Right.
See, and we have to acknowledge that we're in him too, you know. And when you realize that, I mean, let's face it. What happens in the natural in a marriage when people come together and they consummate a marriage? When they consummate that marriage, and I'm not trying to be vulgar in any way. But they're in each other, you know what I'm saying? And that's why God, even when he taught about marriage, you know, in Ephesians, when he taught about marriage, he talked that, you know, Paul said, I speak a mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Yeah.
Why? Because the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit of God.
Right.
And that's the neat thing about when, as you go on and God begins to give you wisdom, you can see him in everything. You can almost see him in any situation you're in, any circumstance. You know, the neat thing about it was with the old-timers, and I'm saying old-timers in the sense of back here,
yeah.
You know, is that they saw a little bit of what was happening. They understood a little bit of it, but not to the extent that we today do. We can look back and even think about what happened when it says, you know, that rock that followed them, that was Christ. Well, what happened? Moses was told to go and speak to the rock. Now, this was Moses. This was God's chosen guy for back then. This was Moses. So what does he do? He goes and he smites the rock. In other words, he took his staff and he hit the rock. You know, he smote it. And he not only smote it once, he smote it twice. And what is that a type of? If that was Jesus Christ, then... But the neat thing about it is the law is always going to smite Christ.
Right. That's
it's
right.
It's always going... When it's told to speak to him, when you speak to something, you know, you're it's a two-way street usually. You know, you speak to the rock issues forth the water. He smote the rock. The law will always smote the rock because you can't fulfill the law in your own self. But the neat thing about it is, like I say, when you think about it, even though Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land in type and shadow back there. No, we know God took him up into heaven eventually because, or we don't know exactly how all that came about, but we know that when Jesus had them up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared to him. So we know they were both in the heavenly realm. But in type and shadow, Moses didn't get to enter into the promised land. He didn't get to go across the Jordan.
That's right.
He was allowed to go up into Mount Nebo, I think it was, and to see it, but not enter it. But that's because the law can never get you in there. But even think about what happened when he smote the rock the second time. We know that the water is a type of the Word of God. The Word of God came forth when he smote the rock. You know, but what happened when he smote it the second time? It gushed forth. So even the people who are under the law, there's going to have to come a gushing forth of the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, and that's what's going to have to happen, you know, because they're going to have to come to a place to where they get out of the law, you know. The law won't get you there, you know, and they're going to have to come to that realization. And I'm sure Moses came to that realization, you know, when he was taken up into the Mount Nebo, you know, or whatever it was. But, you know, I thought that was interesting that the second time that he smote the rock, the water didn't just come forth. I believe it says it gushed forth. And there's going to have to come a gushing forth of the water of God in the earth, where the Word of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. And a lot of that is going to happen inside of you. You're going to be part of that rock where the Word of God is going to break forth and cover the earth, you know. But anyway, I just, you know, when you look at a lot of those things back there, there's so many types and shadows back there.
Yes.
And if we really see them clearly, we can see what God's going to do in the future, even, you know.
I'm sure that Moses came to an understanding and agreed with God that I am a type of the law, and the law cannot, you know, the spiritual Moses understood what God was doing and why it had to happen. Very similar to the way Christ understood the will of God and why it had to happen.
I think that gushing is going to take place again to the people that are so much still in the law and haven't come to the liberty.
Well,
and Jesus,
think about,
they're still going to get there.
Think about the way the word has even changed in the past. Let's say everybody here has about been saved for 30 years or so, most of us longer than that. And just think about what's happened. Now, 30 years ago, honestly, did you hear anybody talking about, other than deeper truth people, talking about Christ in you being the hope of glory? Mm-hmm. You didn't. They were waiting for Jesus to come down sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Or for them to go up, you know. And you didn't hear Christ in you preached. You didn't hear anything about sonship preached. You didn't hear anything about a lot of things. Today, you hear... I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm just saying, you hear mainline you know, denominational churches starting to preach these things. So what does that tell you? That tell you that the water's rising.
Mm-hmm.
It's rising. Mm-hmm. And it's going to keep on rising.
Praise God.
Until the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen by the grace of God. You know, God's had to break down a lot of traditions of men, and he'll have to break them all down
right
before it's all over with.
Well,
you know,
I've read a couple articles in the last couple weeks about how Christianity is leaving America, how Christians are leaving the church.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is people who are believers, they want an experience with God, and they're not getting it in the churches right now.
Right.
They're getting it, what I said before, they're getting entertained, but they want
right.
they want to be closer to God, and they want, when they go into church, they want that to be more about God than more about all the other stuff.
Yeah, they're
and they're hungry for it.
Yes.
And they're leaving, and they're just trying to find a way to get their, get back to where they were.
Yeah.
Blessed are they who hunger and thirst in righteousness.
Well, the thing about it is the revelation that has to come forth. They have to come to the realization
mm-hmm.
sometime that it's not in a building.
That's right.
It's not in even a bunch of people gathering together,
mm-hmm.
but they are the church.
Yeah.
They are the church. Christ in them is what they're really looking for, but they're looking out there somewhere.
That's right.
It's, oh, if I could just find... And see, I seen that as a kid because I went with mother sometimes when I was real little because she'd take me because she didn't want to leave me home with the other kids, you know, because I was little, you know. So sometimes she'd take me with her. When she got saved, back in the late 50s and early 60s, what everybody did was they went to wherever they thought there was a move of God
yes,
going.
Yeah.
They traveled. They drive 100 miles to go
yes.
to church.
Right.
And
we've
well,
done that.
There, that's an example of you guys. You know, they drive 100 miles to go to church.
Or they transfer on buses
because,
to get there.
Yeah, yeah, because they heard there was a move of God there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, there was a hunger, a real hunger to know God. And that's why these tent meetings and all that stuff was so big and so popular.
Oh, yes.
And all these guys that went around, you know. I've seen A.A. Allen. I've seen a lot of those guys
mm-hmm.
because I was at a William Branham meeting when I was real little. I was having epilepsy at that point, you know,
mm-hmm.
still having seizures because I had the seizures from 9 to 12. And somewhere in there, mother took me to Middletown somewhere. And, William Branham was there. Well, William Branham had a tremendous ministry. I mean, I was in this huge big hall and they were rolling people in there on stretchers and bringing them in on wheelchairs and stuff, and they were walking out of there. You know, God was doing some mighty things. And mother said, I didn't feel like I was supposed to take you forward. You know, and she didn't, you know. But God had another plan, see. He had another plan. And so, you know, but what's happening today is, you know, and there's nothing wrong with people who left this church because they think that they don't want to be a part of the system. Well, I don't know what kind of system we have. I mean, what system do we have? I mean, we get together and people talk about the Lord and, you know, we pray and, you know, we look at the Word of God. And I don't know what system that we have. But anyway, but that's okay. I mean, you know, but you got to do what you feel like God's telling you to do. And if God's telling you to do that, I'm never going to tell nobody not to do what God's telling them to do. I'm never going to tell you. If you come to me and you say, Brother Oscar, I feel like the Lord wants me to stay home on Sundays, I'm going to say, well, you got to do what the Lord's telling you to do, you know. And especially unless God tells me to tell you something different, I ain't going to tell you something different.
Do you know that was his voice?
That's right. You know, but...
do you know the voice?
Just to put a bow on what you said before. You were saying back 30 years ago, everybody was waiting to go up or for Christ to come down again.
Right.
And doesn't the word say to us, do not say,
who will go up or who will go down to bring it. Yeah.
Who will,
it, and that's exactly what they were doing.
Say who will go up or who will come down, because the word of God is nigh thee.
That's right.
Right there. Where? Inside of you. In your mouth and in your heart. Oh.
And those that are waiting for up or down because they don't know his voice. Or that that he is within and nigh them, even in hell.
God always comes down to man. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Because what they say in the last days, that heaven will come down, God's city will come down.
You know, let's see if I can find this.
We used to sing a song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul.
Yes.
When at the what? Cross, the Savior made me whole.
Yes.
My sins were washed away. My night was turned to day.
Today, that's very...
Everybody talked about
that still happens all the time.
Some people talk about the rapture. I don't believe in the rapture.
We went out to dinner with friends. And always we talk about the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish we talked about the Lord. We talk about what they believe. And in the conversation the other night was, well, I don't know what the confusion is. Everyone knows that the first heaven is the earth, and the second heaven is the cosmos, where Satan is in charge, and the third heaven is where God is. And I'm going, oh dear God.
And you know, sometimes you just can't even say anything when people say that stuff.
No, because they're not seeing, and you're giving.
I'm certain. Yeah,
it
I'm
is
not.
Unless God tells you.
The Lord told me a long time ago, "Speak not a word."
This is the same guy that asked me, we were playing golf one day, if I believed in the rapture, and I told him no. And I thought he was going to fall out of the golf cart.
That's okay.
I was teaching Sunday school, and I had somebody come up to me.
Yes.
You know, they were coming years ago, and they came up to me, and he says, you don't believe in the rapture, do you? And I said, well, I said, I only teach on the things that I feel like God has revealed to me. I said, I don't get into things that the Lord hasn't dealt with me about or revealed to me. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't think you believe in the rapture. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, how about me and you sitting down and you explaining it all to me? Mm-hmm. Never heard another word. Yeah, they can't explain it. You know, how you explain something that's not, you know. But let me share the scripture with you real quick here. I was just looking at this. And it says, behold, I was sent. This is Malachi 3. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about, you know, going up, coming down, all that. Mm-hmm. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way of the Lord. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly
appear.
Come to his temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's the temple?
Us.
No, you're not. You're the temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soda. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And silver's a type of redemption. He's going to purify the redemption inside of you, you know, silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Levi means joined to the Lord. And that's what he wants to do. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit.
Yes.
and shall purge them as gold and silver, and they that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, and then, as in the days of old, as in the former years. Well, the offering will be a broken and a contrite spirit.
Will he not turn away?
And he won't deny that, yeah. You know. And you know, a lot of times people get upset because they say, well, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. You know, people have sat in church for 20 years or 30, I've heard this from different people, 20, 30 years, and they're not doing anything. You don't know what people are doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love when we did that funeral years ago. Clyde did a funeral, and I went, and I think I read something or something, but he actually did the funeral of a sister that sat in the back. Mm-hmm. And she was a precious black sister. She never said a word in church, I don't think, in all the years that she came to church. She never said anything, I don't think, but she just sat back there and soaked in.
Absorbed.
My God, when we went to her funeral, mm-hmm. people got up and testified and said, oh my God, she couldn't get on the bus without testifying about the Lord and telling people about the Lord, bring people to the Lord. And I wasn't, but it was just beautiful, and there was just hundreds and hundreds of people mm-hmm. there. And you know, she was just being what the Lord called her to be.
Yes.
He didn't call her to preach in the church. He didn't call her to do all these other things. And that's where people, they a lot of times they confuse doing something in the assembly. When they come in, when people come in here, it should be to get encouraged, to get taught the Word of God, to go out and do the work of the ministry. That's what the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers are for. The edifying, the mm-hmm. building up of the body of Christ.
Body.
That they, who's they? The people that are being taught. That they might go out and do the work of the ministry. Well, what is the work of the ministry? Whatever God has you do for that day. If he has you testify to somebody, testify. If he has you help somebody put groceries in their car, mm-hmm. in their car. Do whatever he tells you to do.
Oh,
and that's all you got to do.
Smile at somebody.
Yeah.
Or God bless you.
Right. Well, you know, it talks about the little things.
Right.
If you're faithful in the little things.
Oh, yes.
And you know, a lot of people don't know your smile. Mm-hmm. They're just waiting to see that smile.
And he tells you to not despise the day
of the
little things.
Yeah.
Don't despise it. And people want to do the big stuff, but if you don't do the little stuff, mm-hmm. you ain't gonna do the big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that simple.
I was gonna tell you, my neighbor Patty is with Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Josh was in the house,
mm-hmm.
and we had just had the floor done. And I intentionally lied to her. I said, "Why don't you go in and look at the floor?" She said, "Okay." So she went in there, and she wasn't in there 20 seconds. I heard her start laughing. And she laughed for about 20 minutes. And I said, oh, that's very refreshing. And she came out. She said, Clyde? I go, yeah. You didn't send me in there to look at the floor. I said, really? She goes, no. You sent me in there so he could get me to laugh. I said, it was good. She said, it was the best time I had in a long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, some people need to laugh.
They do.
Yes.
You know, and they can't laugh because they got so many things run down in their lives that they don't see a lot of hope.
Yeah.
But if they've seen somebody with less hope than they have and they're laughing,
yeah.
it becomes contagious.
Oh, yes.
So if you can do anything for a neighbor or a friend or people that you haven't met yet, I know God's got a line of people coming our way.
Oh.
We don't know their names.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, we don't need to know their names. We don't need to know their history. We don't need to know yesterday.
They're part of
But we're in their presence today.
Right.
And what's it say about today? Today, if you'll hear my voice.
Yeah.
That's what we should be doing. That's what the church needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the kids put on my seat, I don't know who it was, and I got it hanging in my car and said, be the reason that someone smiles today.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got this one that my friend sent to me in the mail, hanging in there, and it says, choose joy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see Mark, I want to tell you, because he spoke a lot, and he's shared a lot. But when he shared that about choose joy, and each day we have a choice, mm-hmm. when we get up, when we go, each day, but it just stuck with me. And I gave them a little plaque, gave them something that says choose joy, but then my friend gave me this, and I said, and I told her about Mark speaking and, you know, sharing that and that. And I even went back and listened to the message because it's, you know, on there. And we have a choice every day.
You know, when Mike talks about the old man at work that works on the equipment and stuff like that, that makes me glad that he sees that old man. Because to me, it really lightens Mike up. And then I'm sure Mike's one that doesn't hold it in, but gets to lighten him up. So I was going to tell you, Brother Eddie for years talked on balance. It's a shame that a lot of people didn't apprehend that balance. Because balance is good. You know, balance can make your I mean, it can do so much in our lives. But the joy of the Lord, we have to remember, is our strength.
Sure is. Let's close in prayer.
Amen.
Mike?
Thank you, Lord, for another day.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you, Lord, for the class today.
Yes, Father.
It was very enlightening to hear the things about you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, just let us continue each day walking in your will. And give us the wisdom to help to understand.
You.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.